B3. Number 2A.
So, when we have the practice on the level of Christian Science, you see, we bring, say, an inharmonious state of things back to the normality of mortal mind. We have the practice on absolute Christian Science. We try to keep, so to say, on even keel with mortal mind, with the state of mortal things. We try to see that our mortal existence doesn't get worse and worse. And that's therefore handling latent error, a field that very few Christian Scientists like to practice because they don't feel the negative side of it right away. That can lay dormant for years and years. And so they don't handle it. And therefore we feel one of the most important thing would be that we handle evil in general every day and systematically, which would mean that we practice on the level of absolute Christian Science. Then these ancestral beliefs, these archetypal beliefs, these collective unconscious beliefs have no chance to use us as a channel and manifest themselves. But even there you must see that it is a work that is still, so to say, jogging on the same place. You know, you don't get further. You are active, but you don't get anywhere. It's still necessary so as not to fall back. You try to keep your place, your status. But that, again, we could say, is actually not the real purpose of Christian Science. When we come to Divine Science, as a further level, Divine Science, then we have again a different practice. We know that in Divine Science, when you have read and studied the level books, and I think you have done that, you know that there we are no more dealing with evil as a concrete error or even as a belief in latent error, but there we see that evil is excluded. We see that in the oneness of being, evil has no place, has not even a belief, has not even the chance to manifest itself, because we fill our consciousness so much with the reality of being that we also see that evil is excluded and has no part in reality. Therefore, a practice on that level, where you begin to realize that actually their mind is manifesting itself out of the whole of mind, and is manifesting itself through the whole of mind, and as the whole of mind, and for the whole of mind, then we naturally see that this is really progress. That really at that level of understanding, our practice is practice in a progressive way. It's progression, where we are not just going on in years, but where we progress spiritually. Infinite progression, Mrs. Eddy says, is concrete being. So if we want to have real concrete being, we must at least have that sense of infinite progression in the spiritual. So here comes in the pioneering practice, that practice which makes a spiritual pioneer. He goes forward, he cuts new ground, he shows further models of consciousness, and so there we have mutation of consciousness, the birth of the true man, where we are not interested to keep the mortal on even keel. Do you say that, to keep on even keel? Is that the right expression? Oh, I'm glad. It is. Very proud of myself now. Yeah. You know what I mean, huh? But there, in Divine Science, it's a practice that says, I mutate. I can mutate. I can be a completely different creature. I don't try to keep up the mortal as harmonious as possible. I want to get rid of the mortal. I want to see that idea is man, man is idea, that he is not the mortal, and therefore there you have the great practice of getting out of the mortal. There it is, the practice of seeing that our origin is in divine science and not in matter, not in parents, that we do not live in the 20th century, that we live in the eternality of the idea, that we are not a man of this century, a product of this century, so to say, fettered into the frame of consciousness of the present age, where we see that we are an idea of God and therefore an idea within the frame of reference of the one mind. So can you see this is a terrific new practice, a forward practice, a progressive practice, where we feel our practice must lead us out of the material, mortal, temporal state of things. Then we still have a higher level, the level of science. The level of science, can science itself have a practice? Is it still possible to have a practice there where you just have science? And I would say yes, that's the main practice which should really interest us. Because what could be the practice of science itself? What is the practice when science applies itself to science? See, when science does no more apply itself to man or to idea or to healing, to error, when science applies itself to science, this is the biggest thing and the most satisfactory practice. It is there where we have to see how can we apply science that we find a new model of consciousness in science, that we find, so to say, the new paradigm of science, so that we can come out, as we have seen last time, out of normal science into extraordinary science, and from extraordinary science into ripe science. I relate now back to what we have been doing last year, where we have taken Kuhn's book on scientific revolution, where we have seen that science, as normal science, again, is just, so to say, trying to keep up what one has already gained. It's, again, just jogging on the same spot, practicing the science, in normal science, for application to various cases. But he could see that really the higher nature of science is to find out new approaches to this science, a new model of thought in that very science. See, that's the caliber, say, of a John Dorley, that he began to see in the textbook a completely new structure, new system of reference in the textbook, which has not been seen and is not seen by the other one who does not have this new model of consciousness, this new approach to the textbook. And only as we can practice our science to that point, here on the level of science, that we can from time to time see the old science, normal science, from a higher scientific aspect, then we practice science for the sake of science. And this is that which satisfies. That's why you are here, because that practice was happening 40 years ago, where suddenly that terrific mutation of scientific thought took place, and the same textbook that was read over 100 years by millions of people every day suddenly was looked at from a different scientific system, from a scientific model, and by looking at the same thing from another scientific model, you find the deeper meaning of that textbook. And we must always have our consciousness open for such mutations, because revelation is infinite and goes on, and we have to see that we also find that practice which enables us to be the channel, the transparency, so to say, for a higher sense of looking at science. That does not say that we find something that is higher than the textbook and what Mrs. Eddy has stated, but that we find a higher insight than we have now, or that the general student of Christian Science has at present. This is the practice of science itself. Again, what is practice? Finding the right theory. Therefore, finding a higher theory of looking at the same universe. This would be the super important job for us to do. Also, let's remember that we have now shown these four aspects of practice, and that we don't fall into the mistake that one hears very often of students who say, well, I'm still on the level of Christian Science, and before I have not demonstrated more and practiced more on the level of Christian Science, I don't attempt to demonstrate something higher or practice a higher level, and so they cut out the level of absolute Christian Science, the level of divine science, and the level of science. And naturally, this is wrong, because the whole chart is one. We can't split it up in parts and say, I first fulfill the first level. We cannot fulfill the first level without having a higher sense of all the other levels, because it's all one, and therefore the cybernetic idea of feedback is working there, and therefore we always should see that these four levels of practice go on simultaneously in our daily life. So to say that our new way of life is always a new way of life that is focused, so to say, simultaneously on all those four levels of practice. On the healing practice, on the preventive practice, then on the creative practice, you see, the mutational practice, the evolutive practice of divine science. Divine science practice is really the creative practice, the evolutive practice, progression. And finally, that we are constantly also interested to see this science from an always higher frame of scientific reference. It's basic research that is necessary there. And these practices should be cultured always parallel, or we miss something. We could call that a dimensional practice, because it takes in all the dimensions of being. So it is a dimensional practice. Alright, let's look at these four levels of practice again from a different angle. Namely, we can see that the level of Christian Science and absolute Christian Science both deal with a sense of dualism. Both have a common denominator, namely dualism. Why? Because in the level of Christian Science you have to overcome concrete error, therefore concrete sense that there is an existence and a reality apart from God. But also in absolute Christian Science the practice is still dualistic, because it deals with the belief that there is a belief besides the reality of God. We deal here with a latent belief in evil, and so again it's a sense of duality that is being under consideration. So those two which have the common denominator Christian, that's the common denomination, that Christian means that it is a saving. Saving from what? From an opposite. We don't save ourselves from God, from an opposite. And so both these levels are really engaged in disproving duality. Whereas the moment we come to divine science and science itself, the question of duality does no more enter. There dualism is excluded and unknown, and therefore the practice is there purely monistic. But the monistic realm is also able to evolve. Therefore it's an evolutive, creative practice that we get here. Is that clear? Again, I just summarize it again. What is Christian science and absolute Christian science? Which, by the way, is the fundamental problem with which the Christian science textbook deals. Mrs. Eddy said it is the Christian science textbook. She never said it is the divine science textbook. Never. Therefore, most of her pages or statements are written on the level of Christian science and absolute Christian science. Most of it is dealing with concrete error and latent error, is dealing with dualism, and only a smaller part really is showing divine science, and very little is showing really science itself, the level of science itself. So again, the Christian science textbook is mainly stressing the practice of Christian science and absolute Christian science, is mainly stressing the resolving of dualism. Everything is about what is reality, what is unreality, the somethingness of something and the nothingness of nothing. It's constantly showing the opposites, the antitheses, and how to resolve that antithesis, solving materiality versus spirituality, spirit against matter, and all that. That's really the main theme running through the textbook. Whereas the higher sense of practice, which we could call the higher sense of practice, including divine science and science itself, is really the practice of giving birth to our true being, bringing forth something higher than what we are. Really, instead of seeing the normality of mortal mind, to find the normality of divine mind, to find our ideational being, to have infinite progression. It's the pioneering practice, it's the mutating practice, the evolving practice, and in science it's really the investigation of scientific models of consciousness that could bring us a higher insight into the textbook. All right. Now, I want to spend most of the time this week on the level of Christian science and absolute Christian science, therefore with the question of practice that is directed in order to resolve the dualistic sense within us. And then on the last 2 days I want to accentuate the higher practice of divine science and science itself, which in a way is only possible when we have cleared up the situation and the air through the practice on Christian science and absolute Christian science. Because it's absolutely impossible, say, to have infinite progression, say, on the level of divine science, or finding a new model of consciousness with which to approach the textbook, if within our consciousness there is still either a very concrete sense of dualism. We still think of good and evil, of right and wrong, as two things. If there is still a latent sense of error within ourselves which has not been resolved, as long as we have not resolved this kind of practice, we are not in a position that the higher sense of being can really shine through our consciousness. So we will spend now some time on these two levels, taken together and also separately. And so I want first to introduce the subject by showing first the various methods of practice that is being used, so to say, within the level of Christian Science and Absolute Christian Science. And I want to show the right theories and the wrong theories and the adequate theories. So, for a half an hour or so, we'll speak about the methods, how one is apt or inclined, I would say, in order to be very careful, inclined to practice Christian Science, rightly or wrongly. If you have duality, we usually have one extreme practice that is put forward, namely this kind of reasoning that says, the theory says, spirit is all, matter is nothing. The theory says, mind is spirit, man is spiritual, man is not material. Conclusion, the best thing is to get away from matter as quickly as possible. If the realm of matter is no good at all anyway, so why stay in that? Why not get rid of it as quickly and as definitely as possible? Shooting oneself. Huh? Oh yeah, you laugh. You see, we don't laugh when people come along in distress and have, say, worried and struggled for a long time with a situation, and when they are hopeless and they say, I know Christian Science, I have studied Christian Science to a certain extent, and they are tired of struggling further, and they say, and this is the wrong conclusion of practice, they say, why struggle anymore? If anyway matter is unreal, if anyway spirit is the only, so why not get rid of it, good and proper? Why not make suicide? Then I have it behind me. Let's get it over as quickly as possible. See? Using a theory that is not applicable at this point. The theory is right. Spirit is all. Matter is nothing. The theory is right. Man is spiritual. Man is not material. The theory is absolutely right. But the practice is wrong. The practice is wrong because when they have a problem, when either concrete error or latent error is struggling with them, then they have to overcome concrete error and latent error on that level. That's the level of Christian Science and the level of Absolute Christian Science, whereas the theory they state is on the level of divine science. Therefore, it doesn't work. And we can see why this practice would be wrong. Can you see that? You have a stated problem. That stated problem is stated, that's defined. And therefore, it is choosing the right theory, namely, how to resolve the concrete error or latent error, to resolve it. Only on the level of divine science you have error is excluded, and only then when you have a problem where error is already excluded and doesn't need to be any more resolved, only there you can rely on your right theory that spirit is all and matter is, and man is idea, and that's that, and matter is nothing. Can you see where the error lies? The false method. Therefore, this would be really a materialistic method, just to kill matter, to destroy matter in order to have only spirit. That's what they say. Destroy matter, and if matter is destroyed, then you have only spirit. as if they could destroy matter by a material means. It's not possible either, you see. So one can see that taking here a right theory and use it in the wrong place is making the whole thing worse and not better. Yeah? That's simple as that. All right. Let's take another argument or another way of practice, which we hear very often. That's just the very opposite of this first one. The second one would say, spirit is all, matter is nothing, so let's disregard matter and evil. Just don't take any notice of it, you know? And they could say that on the theory that Mrs. Eddy puts forward, spirit is all, matter is nothing. God is good, God is all is good, therefore evil is nothing. No reality, has no power, and so on, and so it's nothing. So why bother about it? Why bother about it? In other words, when we talk about handling evil, this kind of scientist or metaphysician come along and says, what are you talking about handling evil? Why should you handle evil if evil does not exist? Do you want to handle something which doesn't exist? This is silly. This is absolutely silly. How do you want to handle something which doesn't exist? You are just doing something foolishly. So why handle evil? Just leave it alone. It's anyway nothing. Do you see again the problem? The theory is right. Theory is absolutely right. Spirit is all. Matter is nothing. The practice is wrong because you choose the wrong practice. Okay.